to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. How wondrous, a new heaven and a new earth. The old, bruised and angered, fearful and alienated will pass away. In its place, God will offer new hope and peace. God will dwell with God's people forevermore. Worship the Lord who is about to do a new thing. Praise God who establishes God's reign in the heart of God's people. Amen. Affirmation of faith. Jesus taught us to speak of hope as the coming of God's kingdom. We believe that God is at work in our world, turning hopeless and evil situations into good. We believe that goodness and justice will triumph in the end, and that tyranny and oppression cannot last forever. One day all tears will be wiped away, the lamb will lie down with the lion, and justice will roll down like a mighty stream. True peace and true reconciliation are not only desired, they are assured and guaranteed in Christ. This is our faith. This is our hope. Amen.
Thank you.
Our first scripture reading comes from the 65th chapter of Isaiah, verses 17 through 25. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and inhabit another. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food, shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. I invite you to join me this morning in reading one of my favorite passages in the Bible from Revelation 21. Sure, the entire Bible is wonderful, but as a believer who follows God from earth, our temporary home, it's good to remember that this world isn't it. Let's read together Revelation 21, verses 1 through 6. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Some of you may not think that I'm very old, but I do remember the days of writing papers in school on a typewriter. Yes, you could cut and paste, but you had to literally cut and paste. You had to use whiteout. You had to learn to try to make as few mistakes as possible when your correction ribbon was running out. One day I actually listened to one of my teachers and saw how much easier and better it was to write papers and then go back and edit them when I got finished. Now, it's difficult in this world to find a typewriter. Before we knew Jesus, our old way of life was just like a typewriter. It was obsolete. It might have taken us a while, but eventually, through the grace of God, we learned that Jesus makes all things new. Once we had made that discovery, we wanted that newness that only Jesus can give. We wanted that peace that only Jesus makes possible. When we accepted God's gift of salvation, we received a total makeover. As we continue to walk with God in the journey of our sanctification, He continues to make us new. As we think about growing up into the likeness of Jesus as the journey we're all on, a question comes to mind. That question is, what if this was our last day on earth? That is what the journey prepares us for, isn't it? We are reminded that with each passing day, we are closer to our last day on earth. Every single person who has received God's gift of salvation is a new creation. If we are new creatures in Christ, as 2 Corinthians 5 says, then the old ways are things that we consider obsolete. Once we have become new creatures in Christ, our outlook in life changes. We see that the worldly standards do not mean much to us anymore. If we're born again in God's life-giving Spirit, as said in John 3, then we do not have to worry about our last day on earth as long as we walk along with God. Material things are nice, but they do not give us eternal life. Have you ever seen a hearse with a U-Haul trailer hitched to it? The world teaches us that material things and success are the ways that people measure each other. The world teaches that he who dies with the most toys wins. Except Jesus teaches us, and in my Arkansas slang, in Arkansas analogy, he who dies with the most toys still dies. Jesus teaches us that a life that matters is not a life that has an abundance of things, but a life that has been receptive to God's gracious gift, which comes through Jesus. A man can have the best material things and all the fame that the world has to offer, and he could still be miserable. Why is that the case? I think of some of the wealthiest men in the world, and I keep coming back to Ted Turner. If he were to die today, what would he do? If this were his last day on earth, would he spend it in peace, or would he be so scared of death that he would be paralyzed with fear? You probably wonder why I'm thinking about Ted Turner. Well, years ago, I read an article about how Ted Turner in his younger days quit believing in God when God did not answer his prayers for the healing of his sibling. Do those who do not have the gift of salvation that God offers have any hope beyond life as we know it? There are many who hunger for the kind of peace that only Christ gives. There are many who try to make the very peace that they hunger for. Dwight L. Moody once said that a great many people are trying to make peace, but that has already been done. God has not left it for us to do. All we have to do is enter into it. The way that we enter into peace is by having daily fellowship with the Prince of Peace. When we have this peace, do we have to worry about our last day on earth? The kind of peace that Christ gives us can help us endure hardship and even tragedy. You might know of H.G. Spafford. He was a businessman in Chicago and a dedicated Christian. There were times in his life when wisdom he followed was earthly and unspiritual and subject to the enemy's schemes. But he had some very serious financial reversals, and during the time of readjustment, he lost his home. He realized his family needed to get away for a vacation, so Spafford decided to take his entire family to England. He sent his wife and his four daughters ahead. In mid-ocean, the French steamer carrying his loved ones collided with another and sank within 12 minutes. 230 people lost their lives. The four daughters were drowned, but Mrs. Spafford was rescued. When she was safely on shore, she wired her husband, "Saved alone." Mr. Spafford was understandably almost overcome with grief. He had lost his property. He had lost his four precious daughters who were buried beneath the dark waves of the sea. And his wife was prostrate with grief on the other side of the world. Spafford could have relied on earthly wisdom and turned his grief into bitterness. He could have tried to get his pound of flesh from this French steamer company by filing lawsuits. He could have justified in his own mind being angry with God and the world and shaking his fist at the one who allowed his earthly life to seemingly be destroyed. Instead, though, he put all of his trust in God, and he wrote a song that has comforted thousands since that time, and maybe even you. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Knowing what we know about tragedy and the tragedy that H.G. Spafford suffered, does he sound like he was a man who was worried about when his last day on earth would come? How could he compose the lines, "It is well with my soul," if he didn't have the kind of peace that Christ gives us? The new life and the new peace prepare us for the new place. That new place is the new Jerusalem, as we read in Revelation 21:2. We live in a fallen world where buildings and towns are made by human hands. But in heaven, the New Jerusalem is a place that's not made with human hands. The New Jerusalem is made by God's own hands in heaven. In the New Jerusalem, the sea does not exist. The imagery of the sea not existing anymore is a powerful image. Why is it such a powerful image? See, the sea was often thought of as a hostile force. The sea was also thought of as a metaphor for suffering. Certainly, there have been times when our trials and troubles have made us seasick from the storms that we've encountered in life. God is a God of victory who refuses to let the sea of trials and suffering have the last word. God's victory is only possible when we choose to triumph through all His sufficient grace. In the New Jerusalem, the sea does not exist. The fellowship of God dwells with us. God tells us that He dwells with us and that we will be His people. God also promises that He will remove every sorrow from our lives and He will wipe away every one of our tears. God knows that we live in a fallen world. Romans 8:31 says that if God is for us, then who can be against us? Yes, we know that people will die one day. We know that we will all die one day. If today were our last day on earth, would we be ready? If we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, then death can have no sting and the grave can have no victory. If we do not know Jesus when our last day comes, then we will truly grieve as one who truly has no hope because of our lack of faith in God. To be separated from God for eternity would truly be hopeless. Faith, therefore, keeps us from losing hope. Soon, we'll be entering a new year as we're halfway through November. What will we do with that new year? Will we make the best of all the opportunities that God gives us? Will we embrace the fellowship of God that dwells with us? Each year, we have 365 opportunities. That's 365 days to get up and to walk with God in the light of His Word with the glory that He sheds on our way. Will we trust and obey? Will we put our faith and trust in Him? The anchor that keeps us on course is faith. Yes, we walk by faith and not by sight. For we know that faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Just as we are saved by faith, we must also walk by faith. Through Jesus, we have new life and new peace, and we are on a journey to our new place in heaven. If today were our last day on earth, would we be ready? If Jesus is our Savior, then we have nothing to fear because He is the beginning and the end. As Revelation 21:6 says, the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end of our salvation journey here on earth. Without Jesus, we don't have a salvation journey. Without Jesus, we have nothing. Jesus goes on to prepare a place for us, according to John 14:3. He will not come for us again until our work on earth is through. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not vain in the Lord." Jesus Christ is Lord of all. We have faith and hope in Him. Our faith and our hope are in Him. And our only faith and our only hope is Jesus Christ. I hope and I pray that we will take every chance, every opportunity to walk in His path and to be encouraged by His love, by the knowledge that He is with us with each step, with each turn. We should also be encouraged that all the torment that we're going through on earth, through elections, through COVID, through everything else in relationships, in family things, in government, in finances, in every other aspect of human life, all those things will soon come to an end, because our only job, our only task will be to worship and praise God around the throne in New Jerusalem. He's made wonderful promises to each of us. And I hope and I pray that we each have the faith in Him, that we too will be called to join in that heavenly kingdom. Let us pray. Father God, we pray for those who are lonely. We hope in the promise that the home of God will be among people, that God will dwell with us, and that we will be His people, and that God Himself will be with us. We pray for those who are crying, the sad, the depressed, and the anxious. We hope in the promise that God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. We mention in our hearts those we know that are sad, who know tears. But fortunately, Father, You say, "I'm making all things new." We pray for those who are experiencing the consequences of death, the bereaved, and those who are mourning. We hope in the promise that death and mourning will be no more. We mention in our hearts, Father, that we know who are affected by death and by mourning. Father, You said, "See, I'm making all things new." We pray for those who are in pain, suffering from illness, either physical or mental. We hope in the promise that crying and pain will be no more. We mention in our hearts those who know and experience illness and pain. Father, You see, You remind us that You're making all things new. We pray for those who are thirsty for truth, for love, and for grace, those who seek God and His life with earnest hearts. We hope in the promise that God will give us water to the thirsty without cost from the spring of the water of life. We know God who hungers and who thirsts for God. We're reminded that You are making all things new. Lord, Your words are trustworthy and true. We know, Father, that You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And we pray, Father, for all people, that they may come to that loving and truthful knowledge that only comes in the powerful and hopeful name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Savior of the world, who taught His disciples to pray by saying, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Oh, Jesus, I confess, to serve Thee to the end.
listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps run down on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.